Well, I learned a long time ago not to assume everybody knows what's going on, if you've been here on and off or if you're brand new. But the last week of January, our board recommended and you elected the person who will be my successor. And so we started a process. The Hansons arrived last week, a process of mentoring, where in June there'll be an installation service where Pastor Jordan will become the official next lead pastor until he's the lead pastor-elect. And then after that, I'll be in a role of mentoring for the last 2 months of summer before a complete handoff. And so this is the first weekend that the Hansons, they got here last week, the first weekend that they're here as part of the CLC family. So let's welcome Pastor Jordan and Tara Hanson on stage. Welcome to Ohio. It is sunny, but a little cooler than California.
Yes, that's okay, though.
That's all right. And our prayers are God continues to guide and bless and direct you guys forward. And Pastor Jordan, as you share the word. But we welcome you to CLC, and I'll let you guys share a few words. And I'm going to get out of the way.
Thank you. Pastor, love you. We are so excited to finally be here. And thank you for being patient with us, you know, doing a cross-country road trip with three kids and a dog and a cat and two cars, you know, caravanning. We only lost the cat one time. So, and we found him pretty quick. So that was the worst event. We missed all the bad weather, which, so thank you for praying for us. And I know a lot of you were messaging us and commenting and just that you were praying. And we felt those prayers because we had a relatively painless journey. And now we're home, and we're excited to get settled. And I'm trying to teach my five-year-old that he needs to wear a jacket and pants, not shorts and a T-shirt. But he doesn't want to listen to me, so we're going to work on him.
Yeah, thank you so much. Love you, Tara. Expectations. It's all about managing your expectations, right? People have asked me, how are things going? Have you ever tried to drink out of a fire hydrant? I want to welcome you to Christian Life Center. My name is Jordan Hanson, and I get to work here, so I'm excited. Welcome to our online congregation as well. We're grateful that you are spending your Sunday morning here. I've titled this message, An Unexpected King. And so if you would like to follow along in your notes beyond the screens, you can download the CLC app and not just be connected to all the wonderful things that Christian Life Center is doing, but specifically to the message notes this morning. A lot has happened since the last time we were here, so we'll just give you the quick summary. After we were voted in, we had 2 days, basically, to secure housing. And thanks to a great real estate and God, we moved into a house just this last week. So we're very grateful to be settled in. And so that's a plus. And then after that, on our flight home to Orange County, after our confirmation visit, we were flying out of the Vandalia Airport, the Dayton Airport, back to Orange County. And the security guard looked at us and asked, are you guys from California? And we said, yes, but we're moving to Dayton. And he looked at me with a straight face and asked, why? And I said, Jesus. So we are here, and we are excited to be here. After flying back home, we went back to Mesa and began that transition. And it's definitely been an emotional journey, but we're very happy to be home in Dayton, Ohio. I think there's a sign as we are crossing the line. I learned what the Ohio motto was, welcome to the heart of it all. I don't know if it's the motto or just the sign on that sign, but grateful to be here. We missed all of the tornadoes, so your prayers were working, and made it safely. And as of this last Friday, every single box in our house is now unpacked, okay? So it doesn't mean that everything is where it's supposed to be, but it is not in a box anymore, so that's good. And I also just want to say just a special thank you to especially Pastor Stan and Joyce, for just being so accommodating, so willing to guide us in this significant leadership jump for Tara and I. You've both been incredibly gracious, and so I'm, you know, as they lead and guide us into the installation and through the budgeting process, we're just grateful for their influence and their willingness to do that. Can we give the Tharps a big round of applause and just give them a little honor today? I've adopted the Tharps, and so I don't know if that's a good thing for them or a bad thing, but we're grateful for them. How cool is it also to have Pastor Kevin here? And, you know, I don't know how that was coordinated, but thank you, Holy Spirit. Grateful to have you guys here. Helen, thank you so much for flying all the way from South Africa just for us. And so it's funny what grandbabies do, right? Any grandparents in the house? Oh, yeah. They say grandparenting is better than parenting because you get to do all the spoiling without the spanking, okay? So I don't know how that works, but we're not there yet, so we got a few more decades. Well, when you're following Jesus, you can expect one thing, and all the control freaks can listen carefully. Hopefully you hear this. You can expect the unexpected when it comes to Jesus. It's almost impossible to manage all of the surprises that Jesus has coming your way. But it's also important to manage that as a tension in your life, to manage the expectations as best as you can, because your expectations will influence your experiences in life. I used to be a tour director for Holland America, and I had a lot of fun leading tours up through Alaska and the Yukon, and we would get groups of people either in Fairbanks or Skagway off the ships, and so we would send out promotional material, training material, so they would sort of have some expectations about the trip and what the trip would be and what kind of clothing to wear, for example. And so there was this one particular couple that didn't read any of the promotional material, and they just thought Alaska equals cold, right? And so they came with all of their most puffy, most thermally insulated winter gear. And did you know that Fairbanks in the summer can get over 100 degrees? So they were not prepared. They weren't expecting hot weather. And so they had to go to the gift shop and buy some stuff. But I'll tell you, our expectations will influence our experiences in life. And so the question this morning on this Palm Sunday, which we're going to talk about and explain a little, is what can we expect of our careers, of our marriages, of our raising kids, and most importantly, because we're at church, our relationship with Jesus? What can we expect of Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus, to be in relationship with Jesus? We've all heard his name, even in the United States. It's, you know, I think most people have heard of the name of Jesus, but their expectations are tied to what they've learned about him or they've experienced him through culture. And so what do we expect Jesus to be? Is he a buddy? Is he, you know, a little bobblehead that you put on your car and you throw up a prayer whenever you need something, like a magician or like a divine vending machine? I need something, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to give it to me, and I'll put in my you know, an offering or something, and out pops something that I've been praying for. Is that how you look at Jesus? Is he an ethical teacher or maybe a prophet, someone who speaks into your life? Or the guy that gets you out of the problems that, you know, we find ourselves in constantly? And I've been there. I've viewed Jesus through different lenses and through the different titles that Scripture gives him, but also titles that sort of I've learned through culture or associations that I've made of him. And I have found that for the most part, we don't give or have enough of an expectation of who Jesus is in our life. Is he just a buddy, or is he someone so much more? Well, the good news is that on this Palm Sunday, we're not the only ones who have mismanaged our expectations and set the bar too low for Jesus. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 19 out of the New American Standard Bible, the NASB. And I'm asking the simple question, what should we expect of Jesus on this Palm Sunday? in 2024. What should we expect of Jesus? Now, I want to set the stage a little bit. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, really in the last week of his earthly life before he is crucified. We are reading the story post, so we know what happens at the end of what we would consider to be Holy Week. So Palm Sunday is the day that he enters in Jerusalem, and he spends a week in Jerusalem like many of the pilgrims do. They would go to Jerusalem approximately three times a year for the Feast of Weeks, for the Feast of Tabernacles, and of course Passover. He would celebrate Passover after a few days in Jerusalem on Thursday night with his disciples, and they would have that meal where we have taken and translated that into what we would call communion. You know, this body, we take the bread and the grape juice. And so he does that with his disciples. And then that night he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane where Judas betrays him. And really this is the beginning of the eventuality of the cross, of the crucifixion. And he's alone. I wanted to remind you, and you've already been reminded, but on Friday night we're going to do a Good Friday service. And a Good Friday service is a unique service because every Sunday we really focus on the life that we have in Christ and the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, the early disciples, the early followers of Jesus, the early Jews, moved their day of worship from Saturday to Sunday because of his resurrection. But Good Friday is a moment in the Christian calendar where we get to pause and think about his death and the implications of what the crucifixion means for our lives. And I'm telling you, you don't have resurrection without crucifixion. And there's so much that we can really learn by sitting there and contemplating how powerful that night was for us. In fact, we call it Good Friday, even though it was terrible for Jesus. And Jesus actually says, if you're going to be my followers, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. A mentor of mine says, he says that Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we wouldn't have to, but so that we would know how to. And so Friday night, we're just going to pay attention to what Jesus goes through so that we know what crucifixion looks like in our lives. All right, let's go ahead and start in verse 12, starting in chapter 12. It says this, on the next day when the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, indeed the King of Israel. If you're taking notes or have a pencil or a highlighter, I want you to just go ahead and circle that word King, because we're going to look at that word King today. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things for him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. And so for this reason also the people went to meet him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are not accomplishing anything. Look, the world has gone after him. Let's bow our heads and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, we know that we need the Holy Spirit to empower our minds and our spirits and our souls to be open to what you have for us this morning. So we're asking that you would open our eyes, open our ears, and most importantly, open our hearts to what you want to speak. Lord, we don't want to be the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror who reads your word and walks away forgetting what we have heard. We want to be transformed by the power of your word in our lives. We want to be your hands extended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this week has been definitely a little overwhelming. I have been thrust into the life of Christian Life Center. It's been exhilarating and awesome, and I've had the opportunity to see the heart of our church in an amazing way. This has been a full month already with the rice packing event, with the two concerts, with a little event happening at the end of this week called Easter. It's sort of like the Super Bowl of, you know, Christian events. You know, it's the big thing besides Christmas that churches think about. And the church got a call just like a week and a half ago. Not even, there was like not a lot of time to prepare. And not the Coast Guard. National Guard. I told the first service, I called it the Coast Guard, and I need to remember I'm not on the coast right now. It's the National Guard, okay? So adjustments. The National Guard had a group of soldiers, 200 plus soldiers, that were coming home after over a year of serving. And so their venue fell through. And so the thought process was, hey, we're a heart for our community. We want to be there. And so isn't it amazing to be a part of a church that just says yes? And that was, you know, there was a lot of moving parts that had to be negotiated. And so thank you to our facilities team and Dirk and all the volunteers that were a part of hosting this group of 200 plus soldiers. I was set to meet the facilities crew to walk the grounds of the campus. And, you know, we decided, man, how awesome would it be just to sit in the seats and to see this amazing thing happen. So we were just standing back there, and yeah, that's how I felt on Wednesday when I saw these soldiers coming in after serving. And what really got me was when I saw the little kids with the welcome home mom or welcome home dad, you know, because the soldier serving isn't the only one making the sacrifice. And oh, whoo! And to see that, and then the patriotic music, and I'm telling you, I was like standing at attention, proud to be an American. Anyone else out there? You know, when you see that and you're a part of it, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. So grateful for all of our military personnel, but I just loved being a part of a church that was able to host this, because we want to create an environment where people know that they are loved and the community is important to us. And on the way out, all of the soldiers and their families got one of those egg invites. Come on, somebody. And so you might be sitting next to one of those guys or gals this coming weekend, and how awesome would that be? But it was an amazing thing to be a part of a room where the people were just so excited about someone coming home. And I wonder what it would have been like. I wonder what it would have been like to be in Jerusalem on the day that Jesus came to Jerusalem. The expectations for a Messiah were so high. You know, the Jewish people had experience of being oppressed under Egypt, and there was a little bit less under Rome, but there was also just the reality that you are not in charge of your own country, and they longed to be God's people serving Yahweh without the outside intervention of Rome or any other governments telling them what to do. And Jesus comes into Jerusalem with high expectations of who he would be. And this is what he heard. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Indeed, the King of Israel. The King of Israel. You see, in the time of the Jewish people, a king was God's representative. So Jesus was a king, and he was God's representative to bring, this is the first characteristic of the three that I'm going to talk about today, to bring victory. He's riding into Jerusalem, riding a donkey, as people are shouting and waving palm branches, and Jesus is a victorious king. I think in order for us to manage our expectations about who Jesus is in our lives, let's look at the things that we know from Scripture. And so the three things that we're going to look at today are three things that we can expect of Jesus. Number one, he is a victorious king. He's a victorious king. You know he's a victorious king because they're waving palm branches. And palm branches in ancient times, not just with the Jewish people, they were meant to symbolize victory. In fact, I have some friends here who are going to come on out and represent the victory that these palm branches mean. Now, you guys know the worship team does such a fantastic job here at Christian Life Center. Can we give it up for the worship team? Because our job, and myself as well as a pastor, is we want to make room for people to experience Jesus. In fact, the best characteristic of a pastor of a worship team is they get out of the way and let God do what God wants to do, right? And so that's what we're doing. Don't they look enthusiastic and amazing? All right, thank you guys. This is just, you know, we're recreating this scenario with Jesus coming in. And I was thinking about asking for a donkey, but I thought that might be too much for the first week, so I didn't. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and they're waving palm branches, which signify victory, and they're expecting Jesus to be the military leader who would overthrow Rome. Why? Because Rome is not Yahweh. Why is Rome over us? We are God's people, and they are expecting Jesus to bring military victory. And they're crying, Hosanna. Now, I didn't realize what Hosanna actually meant until I started preaching palm services a couple years ago. Hosanna actually means save us, we pray, or save us now. It's used as a deep cry for salvation. Whenever you sing Hosanna, Hosanna, you're actually crying, God, intervene and rescue us. I'm in trouble. We're in trouble. We need your help. We need you to save us. Except the people in Jerusalem, and oftentimes we, don't have expectations of Jesus that are high enough, do we? He's a victorious king, but the kind of victory that Jesus would bring is far more than earthly. In fact, you see that in his interactions with people, where he's consistently prioritizing the spiritual state of people in his interactions with them. Remember when the paralyzed person gets lowered through the wall? And the first thing he says is, you're healed. No. The first thing he says is, your sins are forgiven. Oh, and by the way, just so that you know, I have the power to forgive sins. This is something only God would say. Could say, and this is why the Pharisees started to say, this is blasphemy, is get up and walk so that you'll know, because I also have the power to heal this man. And so he walks away. But Jesus prioritizes his spiritual condition. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't interested in people's physical condition, because he loves them. And our desire to help people is simply born out of a love for people who are made in God's image, and we just want to be there to help, right? That's why we send rice. It's not contingent upon someone accepting Christ, but our ultimate hope is that they find Jesus. So this is the spiritual battle that Jesus came first to address. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58. I'm going to read for you. This is Paul addressing the Corinthians, describing the death of Jesus and what kind of victory Jesus would bring into our lives. Can we expect something here? Here we go. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I could stand up and wave the palm branch, because empires come and empires go, but you know what consistently impacts people more than the oppressive rule of an empire? Death. And Jesus came to be king over death. He came to bring victory over death. And so Jesus is not just a king. He is a victorious king over something that none of us could have defeated on our own. And we can expect King Jesus to bring victory to our lives over sin, sickness, and the grave. And someday you will meet every single person that has passed away, who's claimed Christ as their Lord. You will meet them again in this incredibly great reunion. Why? Because Jesus died so that we could live. And we can expect King Jesus to bring that victory to our lives. I'm grateful that earth is not all there is, that God has given us something to live for beyond this earth. Second, he's a humble king. He comes gentle and riding on a donkey. Now, I've not met any kings, actually. I was going to say, I've not met many kings. I've not met any kings, so I have no experience with this, but I definitely don't expect kings to be humble, right? I mean, why would you be humble when you have all authority and all power, at least over a nation, over a sovereign nation? Why would you be humble? And yet, think about this. This is mind-blowing. God in the flesh, king over everything, comes in humility. He has the power to just come in and obliterate anything he wants to. And yet he comes in on our level, right? This fits the nativity narrative where Jesus comes, he's born in a manger, he's born with the animals all around him. He comes into the dirty world of where we are, and he meets us there. God, we serve a God that's not just transcendent, he's personal. And he comes to us where we are. He doesn't expect us to get cleaned up and then we go to him. He comes to us where we are. He comes on a donkey, right? He doesn't come on this war horse, this military war horse. He comes on a donkey. He's humble. He is not like other kings. This is definitely not what people expected. And yet, if you would have been paying attention to the signs in Scripture, you would have seen some of the clues that would help you realize that this is the fulfillment of Scripture. Genesis 49, 10 through 11, where Jacob is blessing his son Judah, it says this in verse 10, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples." There is an ultimate fulfillment of the leadership that Jacob is prophesying over his own son. And then he ties it into verse 11, and you're going to hear something here that you might connect to it. And by the way, scriptures like this is constantly going back and connecting to each other. It's amazing. His ties foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. So here Jesus comes on a donkey towards the cross. No one is expecting that Jesus, this king that they're welcoming, would eventually die on the cross. Then 1 Kings 1, 29 through 37 describes a scene. I'm not going to read the whole scene, but I'll just describe it. King David, one of the great kings of Israel, is on his deathbed, and one of his other sons, King David had kind of a dysfunctional family, but God still used him. Praise God. Any other dysfunctional people out there? Okay, welcome to the party. But he's on his deathbed, and so he felt like, and he believed that Solomon was supposed to be the king, and so he's got another son who's out there, you know, manipulating things, and so he brings his wife in Bathsheba, and he says, go get the prophet, and they put him on the king's mule and take him down to the Gihon Springs, where he's anointed to be the king of Israel. And so there's a reference there to that. You don't see it, but there would have been later, thinking back. Why? Because Jesus comes from the line of David through Solomon, a king, and he's on a donkey. And so there's this connection to Solomon. And then there's, of course, the quote in the passage, Zechariah 9:9, which depicts Jesus, this messianic prophecy. Again, by the way, all of these messianic prophecies are years before Jesus ever would fulfill them. Jesus is depicted as a humble shepherd king, and it says this in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, Jesus, your king, is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation." What does Hosanna mean? God, bring us salvation, right? Save us. "Humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jesus is a king. We can expect that he will be the king in our lives. We don't get to sit on the throne of our lives. And he will bring victory to our lives, but he does it in a way that allows us to connect to who he is. And you know, what's interesting, you know, we've marginalized Jesus. On the one hand, he's a bobblehead, he's a name on a shirt, he's a cross we wear. But at the end of the day, we're not just slaves or sons. Hopefully, we actually do become friends with Jesus, where it's not just, we're just only blindly obeying, which is good, he's the king and we're his servants, but we actually do have a relationship with God, and it's more than just that. But I think, for the most part, I think most of us need to be reminded that he's a king, because we just don't have that in our society. It's hard to think about that. So we can expect King Jesus will bring victory to our lives over sin, sickness, and the grave. We can also expect King Jesus to come to us as we are, but he expects that we will be like him, humble, that we will express his character in our lives as his servants. And the third thing, and this is a little bit of a twist, but he's a king that brings a little bit of healthy controversy. It's amazing to me, it's crazy to me, that Jesus that God gives us the opportunity to reject him. I think about this often, and it blows my mind, and you see it reflected in this passage. Some liked Jesus, and some not so much. And so you have the people who knew Jesus had raised Lazarus, and they wanted to meet him. They wanted to meet this miracle worker, this truth teller, this prophet who also had the power to perform miracles. They wanted to know who this guy was. But there were also people in the crowd who not only didn't want to know who he is, but they didn't want the world to come to see him, right? Some of the Pharisees. Now, not all Pharisees are bad. Not all people are bad. In fact, I think all people have the capacity to be very amazing and good. They're made in the image of God. And yet when we choose to reject God in our lives, to choose to reject Christ, all sorts of crazy things begin to happen. Why? Because God deserves to be in the throne at the very center of our lives. And that's really the reality of Palm Sunday. Our expectations, many of us, are that Jesus comes to forgive us of our sins. Praise God, salvation. He is addressing our spiritual condition, and now we have access to the Father, and we can have a relationship with God. But we don't move from Savior to Lord. You know, spiritual maturity comes when you transition in that relationship. Not that he's not always our Savior. He's forgiving our sins every day. I wake up, I do stupid things. I say, Jesus, forgive me. Help me to become more like you. And there's this ongoing process where I'm becoming more like Christ. And yet, that is really about lordship. God, you have everything. You have all my finances. You know, I heard Pastor Josh talk about the tithe. You know what God has the freedom to do in your life? Demand all of it. He could call you to go to Eswatini, not on a missions trip, permanently. Because that's what a king gets to do. A king has no limitations in terms of his authority. I mean, if we're the people of his kingdom, he has the authority to tell us to do anything. And so we can expect Jesus to be a king, but not a king like we're used to experiencing. He will bring victory to our lives, spiritual victory, but he'll also do it in a way where we are representing him and hopefully becoming more like him, humble in nature. And he will ultimately overthrow the final reality of death by dying himself for our sins on the cross. And that's what we're heading to. Good Friday, the night that was so good for us, was terrible for Jesus. And so he will bring a little bit of controversy into our lives, because when Jesus sits on the throne, sometimes he asks us to do things that are inconvenient, right? I remember when I first got to Mesa Church, you know, we introduced the mission statement. We were going to see lost people experience the transformation, the change that we've experienced. And so this one particular guy came up to me after the first service, and he says, you know, Pastor, I've been coming to this church for 15 years, and my favorite part of the first service is I drive into the parking lot, and I've got a sea of empty parking spaces to choose from. And I thought, oh, how many of you know when you serve Jesus as king, it's not unlike Jesus to inconvenience you in order for you to experience more people to come into the kingdom. And we used to have a statement, there's always room at the table. We'll always make room. Isn't that why this auditorium was built? I want you to look around. Are there empty seats? This Easter, I can't wait, because my belief is that God wants to use this physical building to get into the lives and hearts of people, to not just fulfill Pastor Stan and Joyce's vision for this place, but to fulfill Jesus' vision, who came to be king. And he's not just king of CLC, but he's the king of kings. He's the king of the universe. And he will bring a little bit of healthy controversy, which is really, really more like inconvenience, into our lives so that people can meet him. So how do we respond? What do you do? How do we? It depends on who we are in the story. Are we the people who want Jesus to be king, or are we the people that not only not want to him to be king over our lives, but we don't want other people to be king? And I want to just be really practical today. I'm going to give you three ways. We don't want to be the second group, right? Not all of the Pharisees missed it. Some of the Pharisees met Christ, and so it's not fair to group them all into one, but at least the ones that were here at this point, we don't want to oppose King Jesus at Christian Life Center in Ohio or in the United States or in the world. We don't want to oppose what the Spirit of God wants to do on earth, right? So we want to partner with Jesus to help people to know God, to be his people, to value others, and to change the world, okay? You guys have been trained well. So these are the three ways that we're going to do that today, according to the text. We want to become like the king. It takes humility to recognize Jesus as king. And that's the first step. The second step is it takes humility to accept his ongoing lordship in our lives. It requires a soft heart, that prayer. Lord, soften my heart for you and for others. That's what becoming like the king means. And by the way, to become like the king, you have to spend time with the king. It's amazing when you spend time with someone, you become like them. Anybody married for more than 50 years? I bet you can finish each other's sentences, right? It's one of the beautiful things that happens in a relationship when you spend time with someone. And when you spend time with Jesus, you're going to want to partner with Jesus. You're going to want to partner with the king. And this week, we have an incredible opportunity to partner with Jesus for Easter Sunday. Do you know that statistically speaking, people are more likely to attend a Christian service on two occasions in the year? More likely. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't invite people every single week. This is a Jesus-exalting, Jesus-focused place. And so, hopefully, any Sunday people come to Christian Life Center, they're going to hear about Jesus. But Easter and Christmas are those two holidays in the United States, even currently, that people are statistically more likely to accept an invitation. And so this Sunday, this weekend, we've got a couple services that we want you to be aware of at 8:30, 10, and 12, and then the night before at 5 p.m., okay? And so this is an opportunity for us to partner with Jesus. I'm going to just guarantee you that Pastor Stan is going to preach the gospel, point people to Jesus. This is going to be a great Sunday for people to experience Christian Life Center and to experience ultimately Jesus and his rule. And I know what you're thinking. Well, it's just a service. What is the big deal about a service? But here's the thing. Every relationship has to start somewhere. People have to feel that invitation. And I'm convinced, because I've experienced the culture of Christian Life Center, that when people come to Christian Life Center, they're going to feel the amazing love of God. They're going to be challenged by a message to know our Creator, the King of the universe. And there's nothing conditional about it. We're going to love people no matter what. But our hope is that they will get heaven in their heart through Christ, that they will live for something beyond just this earth. And it's an amazing thing when we become like the king and we partner with the king to extend his kingdom beyond this building into the lives of people. It's going to be a big weekend. Every Sunday is a big thing. This is probably the biggest thing that we do together, this Sunday service, but it's not the best thing that we do. You want to know what the best thing we do is? We get to go out into our mission fields and represent the king. And what happens when you represent the king in your workplace and in your neighborhood and in your family and extended family, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you are Jesus with flesh on to the people that you love in the hospitals and in the schools and in the places where God is sending you because you're his representative. You are a citizen in God's kingdom where Jesus is king. You get to extend the rule of Jesus into the lives of people, and they get to experience the benefits without even fully realizing it until the Holy Spirit starts doing those little click moments and they start to understand. And when that invitation comes, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you very strategically, this one's ready. Invite them. They're your neighbor. You've been praying for them. You've had them over for dinner. They're ready. They're going to come. They're going to feel something. That's because this is not just a sociological group. the very Spirit of God rests upon us because we are His people. And He animates us and He gives us life. And when people come through these doors, they're going to hear music. They're going to feel in the hospitality of people the lifting up of the name of Jesus. And we will get to point everything back to Christ, our King. And that's the third point. We get to point all the attention back to the King. It's not about what I've done, or it's not about what we've done. It's all about what God has done through us in Eswatini, in this church, to the ends of the earth. Because God isn't just concerned about our family here in Dayton, Ohio. He wants to spread His kingdom to the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you know that you're a part of a kingdom that is bigger than your church? It's bigger than Dayton, Ohio. It's bigger than the United States. It's bigger than Africa. It's bigger than Asia. It's bigger than every kingdom that has ever been set up, because we are a part of an eternal kingdom where Jesus sits on the throne, and He is going to get all the glory and all the credit for His redemption plan that He's rolling out, and I don't get it through us. We are the carriers of this amazing news that people get to experience life with Him. Would you stand with me, Christian Life Center? We're a church that loves God and loves people, and our heart is to see this gospel message go to the very ends of the earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we respond to the Lord and ultimately give credit and praise back to Him as we close the service. Jesus, You are King. You're victorious. You're humble. Thank You for inconveniencing us so that more people might know You. We pray that You would help us become like You, Jesus. We pray that You would birth a desire to partner, to respond, to be Your hands extended. And God, help us to always give all the attention, all the glory, all the credit back to You. You are King. You are King over Christian Life Center, over this entire creation. And You are King over our hearts. Let's worship Jesus as King this morning.